And so at this point, the teachers typically will meet the kids in the back, and they'll go back. And I even heard you playing hockey today. Man, football, tackle. Okay, yeah. Insurance is just going way out there. It'll be good. It'll be fun. So I'm going to continue on with our series this morning in Galatians. So as the kids kind of make their way back and hook up with their teachers and whatnot, I think it'd be a good time for the rest of us to try to get focused, try to get our attention back up here. and by doing that, I think God has some things. I'm excited for this teaching this morning, but there is a, I don't care who you are, a Friday or a Sunday morning, there can be a distraction, can't there? All the stuff, whether it's your finances or you had an argument with your wife or girlfriend this morning or whatever it might be. God brought you here, and you could be just kind of looking off. Well, you know what? God brought you here to hear his word, not to hear my talking head necessarily. Hopefully he'll speak through me. But this is a place where you can meet God, and I'm confident of it. And I've seen it. So let's just pray and ask him to kind of focus us. So if you'd all pray with me, that'd be good. Lord, you tell us that when two or more are gathered in your name, that you're here with us. And Lord, there's no other reason here that we're here other than the name of Jesus. And Jesus, we are gathered in your name. That's why we're having church this morning, because we love you, Lord. And this is our offering. It's like we just prayed, God, this is our offering. This is really all we have to give is just to come back, come to you, come together as your kids, as your sons and daughters, and worship you, God, and listen for you. I pray right now you would soften our hearts, open our ears and our minds, God. We don't want to go away the same. We came to hear from you. So, God, teach us this morning and help us just to receive what you have for us, God. And that's supernatural, God. You need to do that. Pray for you to do that. I ask you to do that in the name of Jesus. And you said in your word, I claim that promise too, that if we ask in the name of Jesus, it will be. So, Jesus, we ask in your name. And we pray in your name, one and only holy name, Jesus. And God, today I just think of the different things that are going on. I know that there's a church service going on in Sandy right now. Right now, God, I pray you come in power and help Bill as he teaches this morning in that Sandy Rock Church. And help us in our little Provo Rock here. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And sometimes when I'm praying, you know, I just want to keep praying. It just becomes kind of part of your life. And I think that's a good thing. In the Bible, it says pray continually. You know, that can be a lifestyle. And I think that's what God would have for us, to get for our relationship to grow and expand as we grow closer to God, to where all throughout the day, it's like praying, thinking of him, thinking of what he would have me do. What would Jesus do? How can I do this? What should I do? Oh, yeah, seek him first. A position before God. And in this book of Galatians, in a lots of different ways, as I've looked at it, it's actually a letter that Paul wrote to the region in Galatia. You know, 2 weeks ago we talked about living in the freedom that we get from knowing Christ, the freedom in Christ, really the title of this. And last week we talked about living in the Spirit. Well, this morning we're just kind of going to continue on. Actually, this morning we enter into chapter 6 in the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. So in chapter 6, it wasn't chapters for Paul when he was penning a letter. He was just writing a letter. Just like you and I, it's kind of a lost art, but people did honestly used to write letters. And Paul would write, and most of this was probably dictated to a scribe who wrote it for him. But we'll see, also he wrote some of it himself, which is has some significance to it too. But so he wrote a letter. He's just writing a letter. And we're coming to the end of it. And as I read chapter 6, and there's just some fantastic nuggets, there's some good stuff in there. It seems to me that Paul kind of took some things and just said, I need to get that in here before I send a letter. There's just some things right here in this part of the scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 10, that are significant, important words from God to us. And I think you guys will see that as we go through this. Wouldn't it have been great if Paul had, like, Facebook? Man, the Bible would probably be like this thick. You know, he could just, you know, just write it and bing, millions of people would see it. But he didn't. So, again, I'll just remind you, Paul was the spiritual father of these startup churches in the region of Galatia. So it was near and dear to him. This was his baby churches. These were his spiritual offspring, if you will. So he's very concerned, as a father would be. So there's certain things that he saw, and most of the book he addressed them head on. He just says, you know what? It's by works you are saved, or by grace you are saved, not by works. And he really drilled down into that. And it was, as we got along further into chapter 5, he starts explaining just some life things that we can do as Christians once we come to know the Lord. And this one, specifically in chapter 6, he starts, I've named it Goody Two Shoes, and it says, do good to all. If you read the NIV, some of the sections of Scripture will have like a title. And the title for this one would be Do Good for All. So that's where we find ourselves this morning, in the book of Galatians. And I like this quote by John Chrysostom. God, having placed good and evil in our power, has given us full freedom of choice. He does not keep back the unwilling, but embraces the willing. We're going to talk about doing good. He does not keep back the unwilling. God does not keep back the unwilling. You can go down that road. You can go down that unwilling road and not surrender. I appreciate that song you sang, Devin, about surrendering. Devin, or Clint, what you shared is that's it. And we can go down that road of being unwilling. And most people do. That's the sad thing. Most people do go down that road of being unwilling, or we can go down the road of being willing. This morning, which camp are you in? This morning. You know, and to some degree, you're willing. You're here. Good job, good and faithful servant. You're here. You're willing. You're here. You must be willing here. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like a little bird, you know, with his mom. Feed me, God. Just feed me. You're willing. But that is a choice this morning. And even at this point, sitting in this chair does not guarantee that God's going to teach you. There also has to be a willingness of paying attention, of expectation. Okay, God, I'm here. I didn't come just for the pastries. They're great, but teach me. I need more, because you and I do. We need, we need more today, don't we? We need to hear from our God. We need him to lead us and direct us. And all along, you know, our freedom in Christ. Yes, we have freedom. But again, God gives us what? He gives us a free will. We have a choice. You had a choice to make to come here this morning. I think it was a good choice. And you had a choice right now to hear from the Lord, to pay attention, to receive what he has for you. And then what? Then implement it. Oh, my, that's the hard part. Then faith is an action. Then stepping into it. So let's just get started. I want to talk about, well, I think more importantly, Paul talks about three ways to deal with new life in this book of Galatians. I think there's three ways he talks about dealing with new life. What do I mean by new life? These people, for the most part, that he's talking to people that are born again. You know, that's our Christian thing. Are you a born again Christian? Well, yes, I am. I've received Jesus into my life. So he's talking to these, remember, his offspring, his spiritual offspring. He's trying to help them along. He's trying to help you and me along. And also, he's pretty stern with false teachers in this book. Remember in chapter 5, he says about the false teachers, you know, I wish that they would emasculate themselves. Oh, my goodness. That word. Now, that should grab our attention. At least it does mine. Paul is serious here. This letter. He says, you pay attention. You know, and false teachers, you read it too, because I'm telling you the truth here. And then he says, all of you, my brethren, my children, my offspring, pay attention. This new life, this born-again life that God has given you, this spirit that now lives in you, live in that spirit. Walk in that spirit. Turn towards and embrace God. Be willing. Don't fight him. Don't be unwilling this morning and fall to the flesh. Be willing. And so Paul teaches us just a number of different things here, and I so appreciate it. So let's just jump right in. He starts here with dealing with failures, you know. And so in this new life, in Christ, living in Christ, you know, I don't want to be the first to tell you there's still going to be failures. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. Things are going to be hard here and there. So that's a part of this new life, is dealing with failures. So let's look at what he says in Galatians. So here we are in chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Like I said before, it seems to me that Paul is just putting there's a dozen sermons in here, more than that, hundreds of sermons, just in this little bit of scripture. So let's break it down a little bit more. Point A is carry each other's burdens. Let's just look at verse 1 and 2 a little more closely. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. No, I don't know about you, but I can often be judgmental when I'm exposed to other people's sins. I can be a little Pharisee or even Sadducee. We can be these little judges. You know, I don't know about you, but when you're exposed to something, you can say, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. Someone should talk to them. They shouldn't do that in our church. That's just not right. But I'm guilty of this. I can jump right into that camp. And the first thing I want to say is that's wrong. You know, and there's certainly, as Christians, we certainly have a responsibility to inform people and help people. But Paul is really helping and teaching us something here. You who are spiritual, hopefully that's some of us. Hopefully that's you. At least God's changing us to be more spiritual. But he says, restore them gently. That's just Paul's heart. I think we can learn from Paul at just a whole bunch of levels, but that restore him gently. You know, maybe a good example is our Friday night service. For 2 years, our community, Provo, has been witnessing something going on here Friday night. Okay, so every Friday night we have a church service, and we have for 2 years now. God's blessed, and fruit's there, and the church is growing. But we also have a pretty big crowd out in the parking lot and whatnot. We've had the police here before, the ambulance. You know, for your casual person driving by out here, if you were to drive by out here with your family in your minivan, you know, and look out over there, you go, what is going on over there? And believe me, I've heard some kickback from different places in this, in the police department, from the city, and from a few different things. People are concerned. I've had people ask me, do you guys serve alcohol over there? You know, did you know that there's underage kids smoking out in the parking lot? You know, you're going to get shut down if you don't do something about that. What are you guys thinking? How could you do that? And you know, if you were to drive by here maybe on a Friday night, one particular night there was a couple cop cars police squadron cars and a fire truck and an ambulance out in the parking lot. You drive by and go, what kind of church is that? You know, I have people ask me, do you guys worship rock and roll? You know, I say, well, I like rock and roll. I worship God. I love God. And I worship him with rock and roll. Oh, yeah, that's in my blood. But you see what I'm saying? How you could come by, and I'm thinking probably a pretty good portion of this city would be quick to judge our little church. And they are. Trust me, they are. But, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's fine with me. That, you know, you go ahead and do that. All right? And I've told a number of young fellas that come up to me, Mac, they're going to shut down our church. I said, you know what? I have a big God, and I trust in him. And I just want to tell you up front, I smoked for 13 years, and I don't want anyone to smoke. Okay, you just need to know that up front. I don't want anyone to smoke. This summer, I was with my mom's husband, who passed away, and I was with him on his deathbed. Okay, I was with him, I was praying, I was sharing Jesus with him, but he was in really bad shape. He spent some of his life smoking, you know, and I'm sure not all of his health problems were attributed to that, but I spent the night administering morphine to him and trying to keep the stuff out of his mouth so he wouldn't gag to death. And so I'll tell you what, I don't want you to smoke. You just need to know that. It's just not good for you, and it's killing you. Okay, so you just need to be out. But I am more concerned about everybody's souls. You just need to know, I am more concerned about everybody's souls out in that parking lot, you know. And as 12, 13-year-old, I smoked. And I smoked in places that weren't good for me, in pool halls and taverns at 13. So gently this morning, you know, I would just say, smoking is not a sin, right? It's not a sin. So if I was to talk to somebody from the city here, I would gently just say, you know, we're trying to help these people. I'm more concerned about their soul, and I want to help them. You know what? Having sex outside of marriage, I don't want you to do that either. You know, we could go through the Ten Commandments and everybody be squirming in their seats here, including me. You see what I'm saying, Paul? We've got to restore him gently. Now, there's a balance in all that. We have to help each other. And this part of Galatians is just really good. As we get a little further, we can take a little bit closer at this. But here's what I kind of tell people. I love C.T. Studd. He is one of my heroes in the faith. But this is one of my favorite quotes by him. Even got a double quotation in there. Some want to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. And I say amen too. So much so that I am starting to live this. I'm starting to live this. Okay? I would rather run a rescue shop than a yard from hell. And when people ask me that, you know, I've had pastors ask me, can you describe your church in one sentence? I say, we are running a rescue shop. And it's not going to look like your church. I promise you that. You know, I had one guy tell me, I'm in my 50s. I couldn't do ministry like you do over at the Rock Church. And I said, well, I'm in my 50s too. And God's doing it. I'm not. And so, yeah. It looks a little chaotic here sometimes. We are a startup church. We have a lot of baby Christians, and we're trying to help them gently get pointed to Jesus, because he's the one that's going to change them. We're called to love them. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Help them, help them, help them. You know, if it keeps recurring, yeah, I can be firm. Some of you know that. I can rebuke you. I can say, don't do that anymore. I'm not, you know, and there are many in this church that would do that too. Why? Because we love each other. We want the best for everybody. move on. I like this verse in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Hopefully in this church we are cultivating a group of people that love one another. In our life groups, in our Sunday morning church, in our Friday, in our Saturday, and all the stuff that we're involved in, we're trying to learn and teach each other how to love one another. And thank goodness God is helping us with that. He's directing us and teaching us quite a few things. Take the log out of your own eye. Well, this one hurts sometimes to hear too, doesn't it? Let's look in Galatians, okay, verse 3 and 4. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. This is good. I like how Paul just kind of, if anyone thinks he is something, because that's what we do. I'm a spiritual guy. You know, I don't do that. You're deceiving yourself. You're just as much need of the Holy Spirit as anyone else. We will fall. We will fall short. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Sounds to me like a little bit of self-examination is appropriate. And we can, in the words of Jesus himself, look at this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. Hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Those are the words of Jesus. You know, and I think we ought to take that to heart. And that's what Paul's writing to the Galatians as well. Okay, yeah, you're a Christian, and there's a responsibility for us to help other Christians. But you know what? Don't do it like you're all so self-righteous. I know it. I'm this mature Christian. You know what? You won't be mature until you're with Jesus. We've all got something to learn. And we need to live that way, humbly, teachable, moldable. Teach me, God, continue. I don't have it figured out. Teach me today, right now. I don't have it figured out, and neither do you. And we need to be humble and teachable. And I think the whole process of teaching others really is used in our own growth as well. So we teach others, hopefully we grow in that whole process. Let's move on. Dealing with failures. Pull your own weight. Look in Galatians 5 and 6. Each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. For each one should carry his own load. Did you hear that? Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. So point C, pull your own weight. Are you carrying your own weight? Am I carrying my own weight? Now again, we touched on this last Friday night, the last part of our Weathering the Storm series. We're really serious in this church about reaching the world for Christ. It's not a club. We're not here just because it's fun to be together. It is, but we are on mission. I am on mission. I've given my life to it. I don't want to retire from it. I want to do it till I die. And this church, there's a group of people who are very set on reaching the world for Christ. And so there's a core. If we were to get everybody together in our churches, there's a core that get it. There's a group of people that get it. And we want that percentage to grow. And it is growing. God is teaching and growing people up in their faith, and they're coming alongside of us, and they're committed. Not with only their money. That's important. That's a part of our walk. Are you part of it or not? Are you holding on to that, or you're part of it or not, but your very life. I have given my life as an offering to be a part of what God is doing here. And I challenge you to be a part of that, to live a life that is fully given to the purposes of Christ. And just see what happens in your life, how it finally starts to make sense. And all the stuff that we're concerned about, all the little things that drive us crazy, really are just little things, and they don't matter in the whole eternity perspective. They don't. They don't. And I just want to remind you, it's going to cost you more than money. It's going to cost you your life. But it's a life well spent. You can do something else with your life, but it won't even measure up to a life spent for Christ. Let's look at this verse in Titus. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. There's certainly a balance in being productive and getting rest. There's a balance in our life. We are all faced with this balance, especially those of us with families. It's hard to balance everything. I got to work so many hours here to pay the rent. I got to be a good husband. I got to be a good wife. I got to be a good parent. I got all these plates I'm spinning and juggling over here. It's hard, you know. And I see people even become unproductive by being too productive. I see that all the time. People are working, and burning a candle at both ends, and then something happens and they get sick. You know, that's happened to me before. I've way overbooked myself, and I'm running hard. I'm trying to get everything done. And then my productivity just goes, because I crash. I'm sick. I'm burnt out. I don't have anything left to give. It's hard to find a balance. Apart from Christ, I don't think again. You know, it said that If you really want to build your relationship with God, you should pray to Him a half hour every day. And if you're really busy, if your schedule's tight, you should make it an hour. Like, what's that mean? Well, think about it. Because if you're getting real busy and God's not in it, that's your own busyness. If you don't have time, if you don't have priority, if you're not praying, if you're not reading God's Word, you're just going to fizzle out because there's no life in that. There's no life in that. The source, you're not getting filled up. You're not getting filled up, and you're just going to tank. I've seen it time and time again. Been there, done that myself. And there's a balance. And we need to help each other with finding that balance. Okay, dealing with discipline. Again, so Paul is talking to baby Christians here, or to his family, to these new startup churches. And he said, well, there will be discipline. How do you deal with it? It comes from God. Let's look at chapter 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. That's probably enough said right there. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. This is profound. Now, Paul's not talking about directly addressing salvation right here. He's saying if you reap the Spirit, if you turn towards the Spirit, willingly embrace the Spirit. Remember, we talked last week about living in the Spirit. To turn towards that, step into that. If you know Jesus, eternal life has begun, okay? If you've asked Jesus into your life, the timeline has started. It has begun. You have stepped into eternal life. Now, you can turn towards Jesus and live in the Spirit, or you can shrink back and live in your flesh and in those thoughts and in the lies that Satan hammers you with. Well, you know, just think of it. If you're involved in praying and being God's Word and being with God's people and growing, that's going to turn you towards life in the Spirit. But if you're not reading, not praying, not involved in the fellowship of the believers, where does that take you? Well, pretty soon your flesh is taken over. I have all these nasty thoughts all the time. I'm tempted to do this. I do this. I'm living over here. It's not rocket science. I'm living over here. I see it all the time. I fight it myself all the time. And Paul's just saying, okay, live in the Spirit. It's real. There is a fight. There is a battle. You're in it. And you're going to have to pay attention. Ask God to help you. And so am I. God knows your heart. First point A, God knows your heart. Look this in Luke 16. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." So, God knows our heart. All that stuff you think that no one knows about, God knows about. All the things you do in secret, they are not hidden. They are not secret. You might think they are. That's my secret thing. I can say that whenever I want over here. Nobody knows about it. God knows. Don't offend your father. Don't offend your father. God knows. He knows our hearts. He knows everything. He knit us together in our mother's womb. Wake up and realize that God is real. He's all-powerful, and he knows, and he wants better for you. And pay attention to him. Look to him. Ask him. He's a good father. He's the perfect father, the only perfect father. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. But if we're not looking to him, we won't get his best. I mean, that's the same with our earthly fathers. They want to help us. They want to speak into our lives. But if we shut them out, we won't get that help. We won't get that wisdom. We won't get that at all. Dealing with growth. Okay, so I'm a born-again Christian. This life in Christ has just begun. So how do I grow? What do I do? Look at in Galatians, Paul takes us a little further, 9 and 10. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And there's just a real good visual in all of this. Let us not become weary in doing good. Just like a baby needs special attention. A new baby, a little baby is born in just a miracle of God, supernatural. We see it, we're born. You know, people getting saved, that's supernatural. God does that. A little baby being born, that's supernatural. God does that. So that little baby comes out, and mom and dad are so proud. You know, look at what we've done. Look at this baby. And God's going to help you. But remember, that little baby can't do anything. It's just, when they're little tiny, they need you 24/7. They need everything. They need to be fed. They need to diapers changed. They need everything till they get old enough, you know, and they get off the milk diet and start having that smooshed up stuff. And then you get old enough to where you're our age and you have steak, then you lose your teeth, and pretty soon you're eating the smooshed up stuff again. That's kind of the what happens. But you know, that's just a really fantastic, I think, analogy for a young believer. So you come to know Jesus, all right? You're a baby. Really, a baby who craves pure spiritual milk from your father. Where do you get that? That's God's word. That's God's word. Pure spiritual milk. Being in God's family. There is protection and help in the body of Christ. Together that we can help each other and teach each other and bring each other along. And certainly, we've all seen it. A new baby Christian, we got to help them change their diapers once in a while. You know, quit having sex outside of marriage. You know what? Don't take God's name in vain like that. That offends me. We have to change diapers. They don't know him better. You know, I didn't come to know the Lord till I was 37. At 37, I had a lot of habits, and it was hard to change them. But my God's big enough, and he's helping me. There's a process. I'm not there. But there's a process where God helps us grow up. And you get the same thing here. As Christians, as young Christians, and learning to do good. and lifestyles changing. You think just because you asked Jesus in your life, now that might be the one single most important thing that ever happened to you, but you know what? That same day, you're going to have 1,000 more decisions to make. That same day. The first one, oh yes, you asked Jesus in your life, that's huge! That's important. That's the difference between heaven and hell. But then there's also a process, a discipleship, a growing up in the faith, trying to grow, yearning to grow, listening, reading, hearing, showing up. You know, the stuff we do in our churches are to design to help you grow. In a life group, going to GCLIs, being a part of what's going on. Pay attention to what's going on in your church family so that you can deal with growth. And you know, you don't get to a point where, well, I've been a Christian for 30 years, so I'm good. Well, you know what? You still need to be in the body of believers. You need to be around that fresh new Christian and talk to them. Plus, you have a world of wealth to help them with. But Christian, don't get to a place where you think I've got it figured out and not be teachable. No, we need to be humble and always teachable. And the bread of life, you know, just like a baby, a human's going to need food and water all your life. You are going to need a bread of life. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. You're going to need a river of life. You're going to need the bread and water that Christ gives you for eternity. Now, for now, we have to live by faith while we're on this planet. When we die, physically die, and you will, and I will, there's a time that right there, if we know Jesus, that we have spiritual life. So when we die physically, we have life and we're with Christ. But while we're here, we need that. And at that point, we will see Jesus. So it won't be a faith issue anymore. We will see Jesus. We will live in it. You see, we won't have to live by faith anymore when we live, when we die, when we go to be with Jesus. That's our hope. Then it all changes. The lies stop. We won't have an accuser. But while we're here, there's a growth process that God's body of believers are going through. You're going through it. I'm going through it. And we need each other to walk in that. Do good. That seems pretty simple. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. Do good, Christian. Do good. And do good especially to your fellow believers. Here again, Paul just referred to that. Do good especially to the family of believers. So, as we are dealing with our growth in Christ, growing up, our family of believers are to be held on high. We're supposed to do good, especially to the family of believers. Together, we are the bride of Christ. This is a family. You guys are my family. You're my spiritual family. The bride of Christ includes other churches as well. That's our family. And we're called to do good to each other. And in a number of different levels, aren't we? I think a real good example of this is when we decided to take the step and fix up this old warehouse. Okay, in faith, we went to the body of believers and we said, God, help us. We really felt God was helping us and leading us to plant a church here in Provo. So we didn't have anything, did we? We didn't even have this old warehouse. And believe me, it was a mess when we first walked in the door. But God led us, and we clearly felt God wanted a church in Provo. There's a number of people involved and exciting about it. God was obviously doing a work here. So in faith, we stepped out. We asked the body of believers, can you help us? So in 5 weeks, we raised $75,000. 5 weeks, God's family of believers stepped up. And some of you were a part of that and said, yeah, God's doing something there. I'm going to give some money towards that. Well, you know what? That $75,000 did not cover the rent and all the stuff it took to get us to that point. So, but by faith, we stepped out anyway. And how did God provide? See, the swamp cooler that's blowing me on me right now? That was donated. So we started the process. A guy comes and says, you know what? I will donate swamp coolers and I'll put them in. So he did. The pink chairs here, you know, they're used, yeah. Why? Because they came from Southern California. A church in Southern California donated. They just gave them to us. We wouldn't have had enough money to buy everything. We spent it all. And the coffee makers. So a guy says, I happen to be in a coffee business. So he donates coffee makers. See, that's all being part of the family. And it goes above and beyond that. There's a few verses here. Let's look at this in 1 Peter. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. And in Acts, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had together. You know, this challenges my heart, because I have my own little world too. I have my stuff that I can really be selfish with. But what God wants for us, he wants this family, this little church beginning here, he wants us all to begin in it together, to carry the load together, to everyone to carry their part of the load. In church across America this morning, sadly enough, I mean, all over the world there's churches. Sadly enough, the largest percent of people just want to be fed. Give me. Just give me something. Give me something. Come on, preacher, preach it. Give me something. Consumer Christians. Just consumer Christians just want to, you know, the coffee isn't good enough. Well, you should have been up earlier and made it yourself. You know, usually the people that are complaining the most don't have any part of making it happen. Are you part of making it happen? Oh, my goodness, it takes a lot to do church. To do it right, to do it well, so people feel loved when they come in here. It takes sound people. It takes video lights. It takes coffee. It takes people that are watching your kids right now. It takes a number. It takes greeters. It takes all different. It takes our resources. It takes my money. It takes your money. It takes all of us thrown in together. And that's by God's design. That's what God wants for us. That's what he wants for us as a family of believers. Are you in or not? Are you serving? Are you just like to watch everybody else serve? Serve me. No. God wants you to be a part of it. He doesn't want you to miss out. He doesn't want me to miss out. He wants us all as a family of believers to run together. What for? To reach the world for Christ. I don't know how long I'm going to live. You know, most likely I could make it to 75. I might make it 24 more years, God willing. Maybe. Remember, I smoked for a while too. My life's probably a little bit shorter. I could die today. You could die today. How long is this life? I don't know. But it's slipping away. Night is coming when no man can work. And this is our time, guys. This is our time. Do you want to be involved in something that's bigger than your life? Then be involved in this business of building the kingdom. There's nothing else that even comes close to it. And Paul, at the end of his letter here, he's just saying, be a part of it, be a part of it. If you're going to grow, stay away from the naysayers, stay away from them false teachers, be with your family of believers, pour into it, live it, and run hard. And that's what I want to do. And I'm trying to figure that out, and I want to do it with you. And I've seen God, for the last 10 years, I've seen him grow the little rock churches. He's doing something special. And we're a part of it. What a privilege. What a privilege. This is chapter 6 of Galatians, first half. Next week, we'll finish up our Galatians series. So a week from today, we'll finish up this. It's been 14 parts, so our 14th part will be next week. And it's been good. And so 2 weeks after that, we're going to start the family series. Again, this is the humble beginnings of our little church. And we've figured some things out, but, you know, we really want to come together as a family of believers. And if you're new today, we just welcome you to be a part of that. Many of you have been here for quite a while. And I just want you to know, I want you to really embrace this mission, what we're trying to do. In 2 weeks, when new people come in and you haven't met them yet, love them. Love them. Love them. I want, when people come in that door over there, I want them to feel the love of Christ. I want the Holy Spirit just to envelop them. And that's my prayer. And you know what? Don't get so caught up in yourself that you're out smoking or distracted from what's going on here. There's a mission going on. Don't miss out on it. Don't miss out on it. There are so many people in this county that need what we have. That's my heart. We need to run hard together. We need to help them. And it's not going to be easy. A lot of times it's going to be messy. And yeah, there'll probably be more cop cars here. And there'll be hard things that you and I go through. But honestly, when I walk through the grocery stores, when I walk around in Utah County, it's just so lost. The harvest is ripe. The workers are few. We cannot waste time. Let's band together. Let's do it now. Let's step into this mission that God's put before us. I challenge you to be a part of something much bigger than yourself. And it's, you know what? Here's the deal. You're going to have to completely die to yourself. And so am I. And you'll never regret it. I'll just close with the prayer. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord. Thank you that you are helping us. I pray you continue to direct us and grow us as a church, Lord. I pray for people that don't know you to come through our doors, God. I pray you'd help us not be selfish. I pray you help me personally, God, that I would not be selfish, that I would die to myself, that I'd go out of my way to love that new person. God, I pray for that. Only you can do that, Lord. Only you can love like that. Thank you that you loved us first, and that's why we can love. We pray that your Spirit would come in power into this place, Lord God. Continue to grow it, grow us. We're all just trying to figure out how to grow, God. Would you please help us? Pray that we'd be humble, and teachable, trainable. We'd hear from you. Thank you that we heard from you this morning, God, through your word, through that letter that Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, God. You're such a good Father. You give us what we need. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that in your name. Amen. All right, let's do a couple more songs.
Why don't you guys stand up for a couple more songs?